I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and we have a power-packed show today. There's so much going on each and every week that you try and keep track of all these things. I got to make notes on top of notes on top of notes. But I'd like to start out with a couple of thoughts about life. Life, love, and liberty. You know, recently, very recently, my family suffered a devastating and terrible loss to our clan. My beloved mother-in-law, age 81, passed away very suddenly. Her name was Bee Bonner, and she was a second mother to me. My mom passed away in 2014. No, not even, 2004. I'm sorry, the time goes so fast I lose track of it. My mom passed in 2004, kind of unexpectedly. But she was younger. She was 64. Well, Bee has been my mother-in-law since 1983. I want to make sure I get that one right because that's my anniversary. So Bee has been my second mom. After my mother, Corrine, passed, Beatrice was... her and I got much closer. And she's really, really just a wonderful woman. So good to my wife and my children that it became so comforting to have her around all the time. She was just, she just loved everything about the kids. And as they all said, made her feel that she was special. But really, she made them all feel like they were special. The big joke around here was, you know, who was Graham's favorite? Because that's what we called a Grammy. Who was Grammy's favorite? And these kids all argue. I have four kids. My oldest son, Joe's an attorney. Alex is 27. He's a carpenter. Marisa Joy has been on this show a couple times. She's an actress. And Jack Tague, who's written an article or two here and there for Chasing Justice. Jack is 16. And they all tease each other about who's Grammy's favorite because she told each one of them they were their favorite over the course of over time. So they always felt that whatever they were doing, she made him feel like it was the most important thing in the world, the most wonderful thing in the world. And it got me to thinking, you know, you never know in life the turns that life is going to take. And here's my mother-in-law. She's 81 years old. She is very, very healthy. Little difficulty walking. You know, you get to be 81, you get sore bones and stuff. But mentally, as sharp as a tack. And just really a good person. Well, the other day, my father-in-law, who is 86, and he's healthy as a horse as well, thank God. He calls us kind of emergent, and he says, listen, something happened to Mom. Get over here. So we go running over there, and by the time we got there, the police were already on scene. The medics were on scene. And as a law enforcement officer, I could tell by the way everybody was moving that it was very serious, but not serious enough to rush, which was very disconcerting. I think everyone else around us felt that that was a good thing, that she was okay, but I kind of knew by the slow movement, there was no rush to get to the hospital, is my point. And she was unconscious. Eventually, we did get her to the hospital, where we got the devastating news from the doctor that, unfortunately, she had what they called a catastrophic stroke, and that it was not recoverable, and it would be a matter of time until she actually passed. Well, we gathered the family, and we sat vigil by her bedside for about 30 hours. Very emotionally and physically difficult. But I have to tell you, you wonder about the beauties of life, and this is where I'm trying to connect these two. You know, recently there was an article that came out where all these states are talking about these different abortion laws that they want to put into effect or trying to protect babies or not protect babies. And you got other states that are saying you can, you know, basically commit infanticide, you know, if that's what the mother wants to do after the baby's born. And I started thinking about the value of life, and do we value life in America anymore? I mean, abortion is probably one of the most hideous things that can happen. And it does take place over a million a year, and people fight and argue for the right to kill their babies. I know they don't couch it that way. They're talking about, you know, reproductive freedom and rights, and I get all that. I understand that. you know, but the only way to really deal with that is to take the religious component out of it. And I think if we start to connect all these dots, you know, if you remove the religious component from life, then of course you can kill babies in the mother's womb. You can kill babies after they're born. You can certainly let people commit suicide when they're feeling sick or when they're having actual health issues. They can commit suicide. And you say to yourself, suddenly the value of life drops. Life is easier to lose. It doesn't have that same power without that religious component. It's just convenience, not convenience. You know, these people are old, so we can let them go. It just really bothered me. And when I saw the pain that everyone went through with Grammy, who was, you know, living her last few moments here on Earth as we gathered around, everybody got to say something nice about her, tell her how much they loved her. But I got to tell you, they expected that as soon as they took her off the ventilator, which we put her on so we could stabilize her and see what was wrong, as soon as they took her off of that, she would expire. And matter of fact, they told us to hurry into the room because it was going to go quickly. And it did not go quickly. Her heart was very strong. Her lungs were very strong. And it went for an overnight, all day. It was becoming very difficult for everyone to continue to watch this beautiful woman just lay there. And the kids were great. They were really good. And her brother was there. And all these family members and friends came to gather around her. What a beautiful expression of love for someone. And it was the most amazing thing that happened is that you wonder, can they hear you or not? And everyone telling her how much they loved her. Well, at one point, my wife decided to take my father-in-law and go home because they'd been there for 30-something hours. Everybody was exhausted. And they're gonna go home and get something to eat. And when she stood up, she goes, you know, come on, Dad, I'll take you. I'll take care of you. Literally, they walked out of the room. They weren't even at the elevator yet when I watched all the numbers on the machines slowly dip down. We all noticed it. We saw it. We looked at her. And she just passed. It's as if she realized that my daughter said she would take care of her father. And that was all she needed to hear. And off she went. And as hard as it is to describe that, St. Joseph, he's the patron saint of a happy death. You know, you think you can't understand that. But this was a happy death. This was peaceful. This was nothing like you would imagine. There was no, you know, death rattle everybody was expecting. No big heaving breaths, no twitch. Soon as my wife and my father-in-law left the room, B just settled down and went off to God. And it was one of the most amazing things I think any of us had ever seen. It was moving and touching. And you start to realize the beauty of life and how powerful that life was, how we were all hoping that she would be able to come back to us, even if it was just for a minute, if she could come back to us, how wonderful that would be. But obviously, it was not to be. And while it was very, very difficult to see her go, there were so many tears in the room of joy because she went so peacefully. And for such a good and decent woman to not suffer, to simply be with us one moment. I mean, because that morning she got up, she had her breakfast, she took a shower, she got dressed, sat down in her chair, and nature did the rest. She had the stroke and she didn't hear anything, she didn't see anything, she just went out. She gave us that 24 hours to gather our family, to get people in from different parts of the country, actually, in that 24 hours. And everyone got to say their goodbyes. Now, I don't know about you, but it's very rare sometimes that people get the chance to say goodbye. And there's that argument back and forth, you know, if someone is sick and you know they're terminal, at least you have that time, but they usually suffer at some point because of the disease, whatever it is. My mom, she was here the night before, and she wanted to go to the doctor the next day. And we woke up, and she had passed in the night. We had no time to say goodbye. With B, we had time to say goodbye, and it was a wonderful thing. And that's really my point here, is that her life was valuable. Her life was important. She affected everyone around her. But I think life does that, if we allow it. People can affect each other in those ways. So here we are. How do I knit these things together? The reality of it all is, whether it's an infant baby's life, an elderly person's life, whether it is someone who is terminally ill or someone who goes very quickly, all of the life is important, and we don't value it anymore. And that's a problem, I think, in our country. That is what's leading to the turmoil we're seeing every single day, as people are trying to figure out who we are, what should we be doing, how do we go forward. And a lot of it stems from removing God from the entire picture. You know, we're too smart for God. We're too intelligent for that. We're too beyond what God used to represent to all of us. You know, that barometer to help us do the right thing. We don't need that anymore. And you see what happens when you remove that from people. People have a tendency to go to far extremes of different activities. And we see our country spiraling downward. We see lack of respect for people. We see these arguments that seem endless that we go on now. They're split in our country is 50-50%. Who want to leave traditional America and go socialist, communist. And then there's the other half that want to stay traditional. And this is a raging battle that's going on. You know, how do we deal with that? It's not going to be an easy ride. But I wanted to pay that little tribute to my mother-in-law, Bea, who was really such a wonderful woman and really affected me and my whole family, and thank her for all the love she gave us. So now I'm going to suggest you, if you're having problems with somebody out there in your family, you should reach out to them. This is a moment to reach out to them and put all that nonsense aside, because we saw some interesting things. You know, because of the whole Trump election thing, I told you we had family members that won't talk to us anymore. And I was very close with one particular cousin my whole life, and suddenly we can't have a conversation. And we haven't spoken in over 2 years. And I got a nice text message from him when he saw that my mother-in-law had passed. And it was a genuine, warm wish of condolences. And I took that moment to say, thank you very much. We love and miss all of you. And that's all I said, hoping that seed would grow in his mind, that he would see that in his hand and maybe realize, what are we doing? What are we going through all this separation for over ideas? Over ideas. We have different ideas on how things should go. Wouldn't it be better if we could talk about those ideas? Or should we just break up a relationship that's gone on for 50 years, 55 years? It's all weaved together with life and love. And that's why I wanted to say that, because that moment was really great. So if there's anybody out there that you've been meaning to talk to, life has a quick way of interrupting. So maybe you want to take that minute to reach out to that person and just say, hey, you know, why are we wasting this time? Let's figure out how we can be together instead of how we can be apart. Because be apart is easy. We can be arguing, we can be upset, we can be angry. But being together takes hard work. But I'm telling you, it's much, much better. So anybody out there that's ever lost somebody suddenly, I understand how that can feel. For anyone who's had the blessings of being able to say goodbye, I've now experienced that. In either way, you lose somebody. So while we still have those other people with us, we should reach out to them and say, hey, how are you? Love you. So that's my bigger point here, friends. I don't mean to be maudlin, if that's the correct word. I don't mean to be down. This expression of life and love has been a whirlwind for us and our family. You know, in the next couple of weeks, my son Joe, you know, the lawyer of record here who does the disorder in the court segment for us here on Chasing Justice, him and his beautiful wife Adeline are expecting a little baby at some point in October. We're not sure if it's a boy or a girl, so we're affectionately calling the baby Thumper, because they're being traditional. They don't want to know what the baby is until it's born. So we're calling little baby Thumper. Little baby Thumper will be joining us at some point in October. So we've got to experience both ends of this amazing gift of life, this gift from God. You know, we saw a happy, beautiful death of my beloved mother-in-law. We saw the family come together and celebrate her life and all the gifts of love she gave us, even though it was tragic and it was very sad. Sad to lose anyone. But in a couple of weeks, we're going to see the beauty of birth, you know? And this is where this all came together for me. This is where this all happened. I'm looking around saying, you know, the greatest connection of human beings, the greatest gift we can give back to our God, however you see God, is to connect with each other and to love each other and to do the right thing by each other, to help those who need help, right? And that's what I think we all need to do. Even you are part of my family now, the Chasing Justice family. The emails I get from you, the tweets I'm getting from everybody, is connecting us all together. It's really wonderful, and that's really what life is all about. If you're going to make something good out of this, you know, we're trying to take a stand. I know a lot of people here in Chasing Justice Land believe in life, and love God. So this is what went on. We have a lot more stuff to talk about. All right, so I want to thank you as well for giving me that opportunity. You know, recently I watched a football game. I watched some football. I haven't watched football in over 2 years, and I love football. One of my favorite things in the world is NFL football. But with all the kneeling, you know, the kneeling and the disrespect for our flag and for our national traditions and for who we are as a people really bothered me to the point that I had to make a stand. You know, at some point in life, you have to make a stand. And I made a stand. I chose that if the football players were not going to stand, then I wasn't going to stand for it. And I wouldn't watch it. I wouldn't support it. And I did. It was a sacrifice because, you know, for all those other people out there who gave up watching, we loved football, right? Football is a great American tradition. It's a wonderful Sunday, Monday, Thursday. It takes a lot of our time. But football is a great sport, and I really enjoyed it. Well, after the 2 years, I said, okay, I think the kneeling thing is probably calming down, so let's see. So I decided to watch some football, and I was pleasantly surprised that in the game that I watched, I didn't see anyone kneeling, nor did I hear the sportscasters mentioning the kneeling and sticking in everybody's eye. But what I did see is I saw the players on both teams standing appropriately and locking arms in solidarity. I thought that was great because, you know what? I understand the players that are protesting by kneeling. I understand they feel aggrieved. They feel hurt by things that have happened to them throughout the course of our country, through them and their people. I get that. But the point is, we're all one people. Doesn't matter if you're black, white, Asian, doesn't matter. I'm Italian. We're all Americans. So therefore, as an American, I can understand how they feel hurt, the players that kneel. And when I saw them locking arms but standing for the national anthem, I thought that was a move forward. I think everybody can get behind that, right? They have a grievance. They want to be heard. And as brother and sister Americans, we should listen, right? It might not be our experience. It might not be something we say, well, I agree with that, or I understand it. It's not our experience. So whether they are right, or they are wrong, or they are misguided, or are we misguided, the point is that they stood and they locked arms. And I can stand with them and lock arms and say, okay, if there's a grievance, let's talk about it honestly, and let's see how we can help each other. So I was thrilled that I didn't see anybody kneeling, and I was thrilled that there was still a show that they're hurting, whether we agree with them or not. Some of these guys and girls that are on these teams are hurting, or they feel they're hurting. Let's heal some wounds. Let's have a conversation. Uh-oh, Lieutenant Joe, let's have a conversation. You can't talk today. You just got to fight and yell with people. Well, we come back for segment two. There's a lot more to talk about, but we'll see you on Chasing Justice in a minute.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to Chasing Justice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network. Hey, listen, you know, I love all the tweets. I love the email, so I'm going to give you some context because I love hearing from everybody out there. So if you want to tweet with me, you want to follow us, we'll follow you back. It's at Pangaro Global. At Pangaro Global. You know the little at sign, Pangaro Global. That's where you'll find Lieutenant Joe and Chasing Justice on Twitter. So why don't you go out and see if you can find us. Jump on there and follow us. We'll follow you back. You can also reach out to me at jpangaro@americaoutloud.com. I love to hear emails, comments, even if you want to argue with me. You think I'm wrong about something, please reach out. Let's have that conversation I'm talking about, okay? So where do we go now? Let's talk about some fake news. That's always popular, isn't it, the fake news? How blatant can some of these people be on these left-wing news organizations that they come out with this ridiculous story? And we talked about Lawrence O'Donnell in a previous episode where he came out with this isn't completely sourced, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. Trump has oligarchs co-signing his loans. That's why he's, you know, beholden to the Russians. Turns out a complete lie. He gives some bogus mea culpa to save his job, but a complete and total lie. Now, where are these people sitting back saying, okay, we've been caught with our pants down how many times now? And I don't mean Bill Clinton. I mean, you know, the news groups. We've been caught with our pants down here coming up with these things because we really want to hit Trump as hard as we can. But we made fools of ourselves because we come out with these lies that are being proved left and right that they're lies. And we still keep doing it. Maybe, we should just report the facts. And if it turns out he did something that's wrong, when we find that and we source it properly and investigate it and we have a real story, then we'll put that out. But in the meantime, let's just be truthful with our audience because, man, we've been beat up because we tell a lot of lies. Now, you think they say that? You know they don't say that. But wouldn't it be nice if they did? So another lie that we saw come out recently was that apparently there was an undercover operative, American operative in Russia, who was very close with Putin, had a lot of access to Putin, could really come up with what's going on over there. And they pulled this person from service. They removed him from his position for whatever reason. Maybe he was going to be compromised. Maybe they were concerned. Who knows? But whatever reason, he was pulled from that position. Well, how did the news report this? They reported that the intelligence agencies of America decided to pull this source out of a very, very classified position he was in because they can't trust Trump with classified information because he'll say something stupid or he'll give up this this person in a rant or a tirade when he's talking to the Russians. Makes him sound like a blithering idiot. And guess what? It's not true. So the CIA even had to come out, because this one was so blatantly a lie, and say that none of that story was true, because this person that they pulled out, who had this access, this spy, was pulled out before Trump was even sworn in. All right? So the whole story was made up, but the press just wants to go with it. This media just, they are so itching to find something that they just keep coming up with these lies. And how do we trust any of the media? So when President Trump says they are the enemy of the American people, and they get their nose out of joint, how can you say we are the fourth estate? We are here to do the right. Well, because you lie. You're lying to us because you have a biased position. You're not reporting anything. You have a horribly biased position, and you're not giving us the truth. You are the enemy of the people. I'm sorry. You know, a strong voice for the people would report the truth. And if that truth goes against whoever is in office, if that person did something bad, then we need to know about it. What we don't need to hear are made-up stories to match someone's political bias, to go after someone they just don't like. Right? Now, I think that's the bottom line of this whole fake news thing. It's just how many more times, you know, anything you hear, you honestly can't really believe. When you first hear it, you have to say, oh, gee, that sounds pretty bad. Oh, boy. Yeah, but it's probably fake anyway, which dilutes all of the news, doesn't it? When you start to hear you can't believe what they're saying, then you can never believe what they're saying. And it might be important to us one day to hear something, but we're not going to believe it. Okay? So I wanted to make sure we covered that. Our NFL kneelers were really something. So what about Mr. Nadler? Let's stay on this this anti-Trump thing that's going on here. Nadler now, Jerry Nadler, who was running the Judiciary Committee, he wants to now come out and start the impeachment proceedings because President Trump has now said he's not going to answer any of their subpoenas. So Jerry Nadler comes out and says that was Article Number 3 of impeachment of Richard Nixon because Nixon said he wouldn't answer subpoenas. That is a crime and a misdemeanor. Wouldn't that be preemptive? Did you issue the subpoenas to the president yet for him to turn them down just because he says he won't answer them? That's a crime. So now if I say I'm going to rob a bank, that's a crime now. So we have pre-crime. We have pre-crime. Before you actually do anything, you say something and we're going to come get you because you said something. Do you see how dangerous this is? The precedent that is being set here, especially by our Democrat friends, when we hear all the candidates that are running for office and we hear the things that they're talking about, this socialism, while it sounds wonderful to young people who really have no experience in life, that everything will be free for everyone, how even will be, everyone will get to go to college. Everyone will, if you don't have money, the government's going to give you money so that you have, so you can live a life. If you don't have housing, you're going to get housing. Healthcare, you are going to get all the most excellent healthcare you want, just like the rich people. You can walk in and get a hip replacement tomorrow. You can go in and get your knee fixed. You can get some catastrophic disease cured, just like the rich people. Because socialism is going to make it that way. It sounds wonderful, doesn't it? But for those of us who have some life experience, who have seen how these things go, we understand socialism is not about taking care of the people. Socialism is a power grab on society. It is a way for certain groups of people to take over control of the money, the system, and the people. It does not lead to good things. And young people, all they want, you hear them. I have young people in my family. And we talk and argue about these things. And they're saying, well, maybe socialism was bad in your day. But if the American people do it because we're really good, we're not going to do all those bad things, right? Isn't that what's going to happen? We're going to make sure it doesn't go bad. We're just going to make sure it's fair and everyone gets everything they need. Isn't that really their way to go? Isn't that great? And you try to explain that even though Americans would be in charge of the socialism, socialistic creep always leads to tyranny because that is the nature of the socialism. The government, the people in power have got to get a stronger and stronger grip on things and the people to control how it goes. What do you think's going to happen? We're going to go socialist. We're going to get this $16 trillion Bernie plan, which is basically going to rob all our businesses, all our personal lives, of all our funding, of all our personal money, the business money, everything. It's going to crash our economy so everyone can have health care. Do you think everyone is going to get the same excellent, wonderful health care? If you think that, I think you're a bit misguided. We have seen over and over and over again where national health care has to rely on rationing and making decisions about who gets what service. You know, we think about President Obama when he came out with his, Obamacare, and that guy asked him that question. Well, listen, my mother's 92 years old and she needs a heart replacement. Would she get a heart replacement? And his answer was honest. No, we'd probably tell her to take a pill and enjoy the rest of her life. Why? Because it would be very, very expensive to give a 95-year-old woman a heart replacement to buy her what? A year? 2 years? At its best, 5 years? So we're going to spend all that money for an elderly woman to get a heart replacement. No, they're not going to do it. Well, then the ages are going to drop down and down when everybody who has a bad knee. You know anybody with bad knees? Do you know anybody with a bad knee? I have a bad knee from sports that I've had repaired once, and I need a knee replacement. There's no doubt about it. If I had a knee replacement, it would be so much better. But I don't have the time to go get a knee replacement. My other knee is a little sore from taking up the slack. I know lots of people with bad knees who, hey, if it's for free and it's going to be super duper great and I get to take the time off of work and I'm going to get paid for my time off of work to get my knee replaced because I'm going to have such a great quality of life and people are going to pay for everything, we'll all go get knee replacements, wouldn't we? We would all go get anything that we need. And what do you think's going to happen there? You think they're just going to dole them out like every other week? Come on in and get your knee replacement. This is going to be, oh, Americans have the best knees on the planet because of our free. No, we all know that is not how it's going to work. What they're going to start doing is bringing that number down and going, okay, well, you're 68 years old, sir. Lieutenant Joe is not 68. I'm just saying. That's where they're going to start. You're 68 years old, sir. Life expectancy is another 8 years. To give you a $40,000 knee replacement surgery, we really don't have the funding for that. So we're going to have to tell you, take a pill and walk slow. And that age limit will drop down and down and down till eventually we're going to say, well, you're 55 and you need a knee replacement. What exactly do you do for society? See, that's how it starts to change. If your job is important to society, maybe we'll give you the knee replacement. But you over there, Lieutenant Joe, you talk on the radio, you keep people safe. We don't know that your knees are really worth it at 55. And this is what people don't understand. It's that slow creep of trying to ration these limited resources. And that's why they're expensive. You know, it's expensive to get a really good doctor in a really good hospital with really good equipment to do the surgeries that people need, because it is that expensive to get really good stuff. So where are we going to go with all of this? What's going to happen with this? We know. Those of us with some life experience know that American socialism will eventually deteriorate into tyrannical socialism like it does every single time. And trying to explain this to our young people, which is important, it's important that they understand this because in reality, in the next 10 or 15 years, they are going to become the wave of people who are in control of everything. And when they come in saying socialism's the way to go, it's only a matter of time till they pull that lever in enough numbers that they're going to elect a socialist in your local town, then in your local state, and then in our national government, we're going to see more and more socialists. We already have them. We already have socialists in our government. We have Bernie Sanders running for president, who is a communist, and he's popular. We see the Gang of Four there, the Squad. They're all socialists, and they're very popular. They're gaining power. They're gaining influence, and young people think they're great. They're awesome. They just want fairness and goodness for everyone. This is what's coming for the rest of us. You know, when you start getting into your 60s and 70s and you need things, these are the people that are going to be compassionately making a decision that, like President Obama said, why don't you take a pill and go home and enjoy the rest of your life? That is what's coming to us from socialism. Now, you don't think that'll happen to them, though, do you? No. Their parents and the people in their family are absolutely going to get that health care if they were 95 years old. It wouldn't matter. They would get the health care because not only would they do it through government nonsense that they would pass it on to their family and friends, they'll probably be multi-millionaires. Our bartender friend who was making $20,000 a year tending bar, who's now the most important person in our Congress, she's going to end up being a multi-millionaire in a couple of years. Now, how does that happen? She's making $175,000 a year as a congressperson with a two-year job. So that's what, $350,000. Okay. She'll be reelected a couple of times. And 10 years from now, when she should have, let's say 10 years, she serves for 10 years, that should be $1.75 million if she kept all of her salary. She didn't spend it to live in New York, have an apartment in New York and in Washington. You eat up that $175 very quickly. So 10 years from now, when she has $112 million, Is anyone going to wonder where she got $112 million? Do the math. It should be 1.75, but it ends up being $100 million. So even if she demands all of us follow this Bernie plan, and they vote it in, and they our country decides to destroy itself by going socialist, if she needs some kind of health care that's not covered by the American plan, or her mother or her aunt needs it or whatever, what do you think she's going to do with that $112 million? She's going to put those people on a plane and fly them to where a doctor will do that surgery, and she'll pay for it because she'll have the resources. It won't be legal here in our country, of course, but they'll go on a trip and get the surgery done. This is how it works. This is why the damage of our education system that spends three paragraphs on Abraham Lincoln and entire chapters on Bill Clinton has hurt our country. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where it is going bad. It's a slow, slow drip of this stuff. Now you bring in all these illegal immigrants that are coming here, pouring over the border, and we're seeing a lot of the red states turning purple. There's a possibility Texas could go Democrat. And I don't mean Democrat, you know, in the 1960s when we all kind of thought the same thing, had a different way of getting there. I'm talking 2019, 2020 Democrats. You know, the socialists, the Betos out there. Texas. I can't imagine Texas going Democrat again. Radical left-wing Democrat. But it's possible. You're seeing it more and more in the next couple of election cycles, and I think that's all there is left at the rate we're going. So many of our bright red states are turning purple and just a step away from turning blue. And next thing you know, there's trouble for me and you. See how that rhymes? Okay. So this is where I'm concerned. This is where I see it going. And because we don't teach our kids the reality of those things, all we tell them is how wonderful it'll be when the government has all this power. Eventually, they're going to vote for that because they've been taught that their entire lives. They tell each other how great it will be. The media backs it all up, how wonderful it'll be. I mean, probably the only satisfaction is the whole thing is once it goes socialist, then they're going to probably go into all these TV stations and yank these people out of their jobs and throw them on the breadline with everybody else. And they'll install their own, government-approved telecasters to do the government news about how wonderful everything is with socialism and et cetera, et cetera. That would be the only upshot. The only smile you'll probably get out of this in the next 20 years is that those people that are pushing really hard for socialism, they're going to be on the breadline with the rest of us, hoping they can get two rolls of toilet paper this week. That would be nice, because the leaves are getting a little itchy. But they'll be on that line with us when they're replaced by government-approved spokespersons. Because, ladies and gentlemen, with experience, we know that's where this goes. The only thing that has given humanity the boost up that it's had has been, first of all, the birth of the United States of America. Number two, freedom and liberty and capitalism has allowed the United States to advance to the point of being the leader of the world in everything. And then that technology, that knowledge, that compassion we have around the world raises all the other boats in the world. Think of the condition the world would be in if the United States did not exist. World War I, World War II would be a different map, wouldn't it? Right? Imagine if World War II didn't go that way. Where would we be today if not for the sacrifice of all those people in that generation? The soldiers who died, the families who suffered their loss, the people who had to fight. The world would be a totally different place. What's it going to be like tomorrow when we don't have that America to stand up for liberty and freedom and life in the future? We have some big problems coming our way. And we need to fix them. I'm Lieutenant Joe. This is Chasing Justice, and we'll be back in a minute for round three.
The question I always get asked is, where do I get the energy from? Well, keeping up with Malcolm Out Loud is no easy task, friends, even for Malcolm. Well, you may know that I've personally been taking Healthy Cell for some time now. Well, the great news is Healthy Cell has a new type of natural supplement called the Nutrition Gel. So no more hard-to-swallow pills. The Good Taster Gel can be mixed into smoothies, yogurt, or water. These gels provide maximum absorption of essential nutrients, and it's healthy for our gut, not abrasive like pills can be. You know, it's time for all of us to go pill-free. And you can try it with a free 2-day supply. Just cover $2.95 shipping, and the company Healthy Cell will cover the cost of the product. Go to healthycell.com/outloud, or simply click the Healthy Cell logo at the top of AmericaOutloud.com.
A ding, ding, ding. Round 3 here on Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and I'm thrilled to have you all here with me. You know, I came across a couple of companies that are really, really excellent that I wanted to mention. First of all, for my brother and sister in law enforcement out there, you know, thebluemagazine.com. I'm telling you, go take a look. It's a great magazine. I've written for it for a long time. It's not great because I write for it. It's great because it is the voice of American law enforcement. It's the independent voice of American law enforcement. So corrections officers, police officers, federal officers, go take a look at www.thebluemagazine.com. Next, I want you to go up and down the dial here, as they say, on America Out Loud, because there are some tremendous shows. If you like Chasing Justice, there are other shows on here you will love just as much, and there's other things on here you might not have thought, hey, I don't know if I would listen to that. Go listen to the shows on this network. Every one of the hosts is dynamic, has great points of view, brings up things I never thought of, you know, even in topics I never thought I would have found interesting. AmericaOutloud.com. Go to the website, read the articles, enjoy the radio, listen to the podcast. This is a great opportunity we have here. This is one of the ways we fight back, by having our free speech, by having our ability to say what's on our minds. And AmericaOutloud.com gives us that opportunity. All right, so go listen to the other shows. I'm telling you, really awesome. All right, schools are starting up again. And as you know, my company, True Security Design, is out there teaching and training people. One of the things I want you to think about is your kid's classroom, right? When they lock down, they close that door and they lock the door. If there's a window in the door, we know historically bad guys that are trying to hurt people, if they can't see in, they'll normally keep on going. They can't get through the door and they can't look in, they'll move. So School Safety Solutions is a company you should look up. School Safety Solutions, and look for their school window covers. If your school doesn't have the money to buy them, buy it yourself. They're inexpensive enough, and they're amazing window covers. You put them on your kids' classroom windows. Buy 2-3 of them for whatever classes they go to. Help make your school safer. All right, School Safety Solutions. Go take a look at them. All right, so that's our bumps for today, ladies and gentlemen. These are all important groups that I found out there that I really want you to go take a look at, and take a look at my stuff, truesecuritydesign.com. All right, so Joe Biden. He's likable. He's a likable guy, right? Isn't that what everybody says? Joe Biden's a likable guy. He's not a unlikable guy. I mean, I've seen him, you know, pretty much my entire adult life watching TV on the news. You would see Joe Biden pop up here and there. You know, I love Rush Limbaugh. He's tremendous. And he calls him Plugs Biden, because apparently at one point he did the hair plug thing and it looked, you know, like doll's hair. So he calls him Plugs. I think that's pretty funny. You know, and as a fellow who is follically challenged myself, I can understand the feeling that, hey, man, if I could get some new hair on my head, that would look really good. But doing the plug thing, that's pretty funny. I don't think I would do that. I'm embracing my additional skin at the top of my head, put it that way. But Joe Biden, not only was he around forever, he seemed like a decent enough guy. I mean, when you heard him talk, he didn't seem like he did not seem like the swarmy car salesman. No offense to my car salesman people out there. I'm talking about the stereotypical car salesman kind of guy. You know, guy who's trying to, you know, trick you in every minute and get over on you. He sounds more and more like that now, because he's being forced to change all his traditional positions so that he can fight with these socialists on the Democrat side who are trying to become the nominee. But Joe Biden, that's why he's likable. He's so likable. Uncle Joe, he's so likable. I don't know. I don't know if I find him likable. I find him to be a sad character. I find him to be a sad character that it kind of seems like, and he's leading in all the polls. You know, he's leading in all the polls. So kind of hard to figure out that dichotomy. I mean, the people want these socialists, but yet all the polls are saying Joe Biden, who's a centrist. He's a centrist left-wing wacko. But hey, he's the centrist guy, and he's got the best chance of beating Trump, really? I don't know. I guess to some people, he's likable. I don't see him as that likable because I know what he wants to do to our country is dangerous and bad, and I can't like that. You know, I've said how many times on this program, you know, I don't know Barack Obama personally. I didn't like his policies. He seemed like a nice enough guy. He seemed like a really good father, you know, but his policies were detrimental to this country. And I can't like that. I can't say, well, you know, because he's a good guy, we'll go with him destroying our country. And that's what, I don't know what people see. I wonder, how come this is so clear to me? You know, when I talk to the guys in the neighborhood, this is crystal clear to us that these socialists and all the things they want to do to our country would be detrimental to each and every one of us. Yet, there's half, or if not more than half, the people in this country who are like, well, that would be a good idea. I like that idea. Let's take the money from them rich people and give it to everybody else. Let's make everything fair. Let's socialize everything. How do you not see the truth of this? This is what's frustrating to me. Because I start to say to myself, okay, Joe, are you missing something? Are you missing something here? Is there a way to really do this? And you are just so traditional America that you can't see beyond your own feelings? That maybe socialism would work. Maybe taking away everybody's guns would be a good thing. Maybe taxing everyone into oblivion would be a good thing. And then I stop and I take another sip of my coffee and I say, no, that's crazy talk. What they are proposing, all these Democrat candidates, including likable Joe Biden, would hurt our country, would devastate my children's future, my grandchildren's future. Isn't that neat? I get to say that. Little baby thumper's coming, right? I'm going to be a grandpa. It would devastate their future. How can anybody look at what they're talking about and say that's a good thing? I'm really at a loss for this. But I see it clearly, and I think a lot of you out there in Chasing Justice Land also see it very clearly. Joe Biden might be a nice guy personally. I don't know. I never met him personally. But he's not looking so nice anymore, which leads us down the road. Let's ask the next couple of questions. You know, we started out this program talking about my beloved mother-in-law, B, my father-in-law, Ted, wonderful people. They're both in their 80s, sharp as tacks, smart, really good. But not everybody in their 80s is, all right? When you get up in your 80s, the human body starts to fail. The mind starts to fail. And we're seeing Joe Biden, who's always made a lot of, how do we put this nicely? A lot of misstatements, okay? He says a lot of things off the cuff that are patently absurd, racist, inarticulate, stupid. And how does the media deal with that? Well, that's Joe. Oh, he's so fun because he means well, because he's a good socialist. So anything he said, we're going to ignore the dumb stuff. How come we're not having, when he sits there and can't remember the dates of events, like within decades of an event, you know, saying that Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy were murdered in the late 1970s. That might be a slip of the tongue. You might say, oh, 1970s. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry, I was thinking about this, and I just said it by accident. That's not what happens. This guy is really confused on a lot of things. He's getting older. Now, that's not a bias against old people, because I know lots of people who are in their 80s and 90s who are sharper than me, that can do a lot more than I can do mentally. But the point is, that's not everyone. We all know people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s who are starting to slip mentally. Joe Biden seems to be that kind of guy. And we're gonna put him in a room with Vladimir Putin. and hope that he's going to do the right thing. Where's the media scrutiny of his verbal miscues? You know, remember Dan Quayle? He put an E on tomato or tomato, or put an O at the end. He put a wrong letter at the end of the word. They went nuts on this guy. He must be stupid. He must be. Where's the scrutiny of not just the things that Joe Biden says inappropriately? Is this a concern? Is he having a mental problem? When you have to bring your doctor out to say you've had two brain surgeries and his brain is working fine, I can't imagine that if Trump had to have a doctor come out and say his brain is working fine, they would scrutinize that doctor. You know, of course, he's being paid off. The doctor's being paid off. His family was given a vacation home by someone to say the things like this. He hates America, and that's why he wants to attack America by saying that this guy's okay. Where is that scrutiny of Joe Biden's actual commentary of our concerns, maybe not fit for the office, maybe being the president of the United States, wielding all the military power that comes with that, let alone the responsibility of 24/7 being the president, negotiating with people who are much sharper, it doesn't mean smarter, but they're much sharper. You know, is he going to sit down with the president of China and renegotiate our trade agreements? Or is he going to get tricked? Is he going to get fooled? Is he going to be bullied? Can he keep up? I don't know. This is a real conversation that has to happen, because I agree, when we start to get our politicians in there as a people that are going to vote, we need to know, is this person going to be healthy? Are they going to be able to be up to the physical challenges of the job? You know, we look at President Trump and he looks pretty healthy, a little overweight, but he looks healthy. He looks strong. Now, this is the way the guy has always been. But he's also, right, the guy's in his 70s. So is there a concern? If he had a big health issue, like if he had family heart problems and he was going for a heart, you'd have to be concerned. What happens if something happened to our president? You know, how would things continue? Well, when we see Joe Biden, right off the bat, we know there's problems. We can see that there's cognitive problems. Might not be all the time, but at least it's intermittent cognitive problems. You cannot have someone running the most powerful nation on earth and have intermittent cognitive problems. Now, I'm not a doctor. I can't diagnose anything. But what I see, sees very clearly to me, these are cognitive problems this guy's having. And should he be the president of the United States? The answer is no. Then I look at all the rest of these Democrat candidates and I say, the things that they're offering are absurd. They're offering the destruction of our country. And people are, oh, this guy's great. She's wonderful. Oh, she would be so good. This Elizabeth Warren would be great. This Kamala Harris would be a great president. Why would they be a great president? Listen to the things they want to do. Don't listen to, oh, the rosiness of the nonsense. Listen to what they're really talking about. You know, I listened to this Beto the other day. He comes out and he says, his thing was he would have mandatory buybacks of AR-15s and AK-47s. There would be mandatory government buyback of that weapon. And my question in another episode, a previous episode here, was, okay, well, I think a lot of people probably would follow the law. Begrudgingly, they would follow the law and they would sell their guns to the government. Lots of other people would not. Now, what do you do with those people? All right, I have an AK-47, I got an AR-15, and I've decided I'm not selling it back to the government. Well, the law is you will sell it back. Well, there has to be another piece of that law that says if you don't sell it back, what's the penalty for that? You're going to fine me $100 a year? You're going to fine me $1 million? Or you're going to come to my house with a search warrant and now remove it, because the law is you'll sell it back or it'll be removed from you. Disarming the people? Sound familiar? Fake news? Sound familiar? Do we not see these patterns? Why are they clear to Lieutenant Joe? Socialism? Communism? Disarming the people? Taxing everyone to death? Government control of everything? Government health care? Does anybody not see where this road leads? Let's get our head above the crowd. I had a great professor one time, Bub Kovacs. Bub was and is still a tremendous individual who really helped me to think. You know, you come across very few people in your life that can help change the way you think. Bub actually did. And he used to say something that I use all the time. He'd say, you know, when you're walking down that road, whatever road it is you're on, whatever you're doing, every once in a while, get your head up above the crowd and look around and see what's really going on. Well, this is what I'm asking everybody to do. Get your head above the crowd and look down this road. What's at the end of this road? Is it filled with joyous happiness? Everyone has everything? Or does it lead to the destruction of America, which we can't fathom? But you know what? It happened in the history of humanity. A country that's 250 years old, that's nothing. Could that be dismantled? It could. One bad election, and we are heading in a completely different direction. When you bring in all of these illegal immigrants who come from countries where socialism is in bed, where tyrannical governments are in bed, where you have these despotic leaders that run their countries into the ground for their own enrichment, when you get millions and millions of those people coming here and they're hearing they're going to get everything for free and in America it's really going to work this time and they're willing to vote for that, we are one election away from changing America as it is. We need to act as Americans. We need to remember what got us here. Right? Socialism did not get us here. Capitalism, freedom, liberty is what got us here to the greatest, to make us the greatest nation on God's earth. The beacon of freedom, the hope of the rest of the world lies right here in you and me in America. And all of us are Americans. So let's use our voice, ladies and gentlemen. Let's not just sit back. We can't be the silent majority anymore. Thank you for listening to Chasing Justice. Reach out to me at Pangaro Global, jpangaro@americaoutloud.com. Call your congressmen, call your senators, call your governors, call the president, and tell them what you want them to do. They represent us. They don't tell us what to do. So until we meet again, remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. We'll see you next on Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network.